Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful. I feel like saying that. Hi, is anybody out there? Hello, hello. Welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, co-pilot, fellow traveler on the path, Michelle Mache, and that was Kaiva Lani from AvatarRhythms.com. Beautiful music, really just, don't you sometimes feel that way? Like, hello, is anybody out there? Is anybody... Hello, Yoshi, my little doggie's, because she doesn't like hearing too much the sound, obviously she goes in the other room. Anyway, well, Happy New Year to everyone. New year, new cycle. We're going to be diving in this year a lot on aligning to the energies of the new emerging consciousness and focusing on co-creating the new paradigm as well as esoteric wisdom. And more deeper metaphysics and readings. Still doing the readings. I'm loving that. And hello, Gary, Tamara, everyone in the sacred space. Lisa, hello, guests in the sacred space of empowerment. Welcome, everyone. It's good to connect with all of you. I did put up way at the beginning of the chat, trying to get everything in for Soul Insights for SpiritLedLiving.com, our online magazine, ConsciousInspiredLiving.com, which is up by the 5th of the month, sometimes the 2nd or 3rd, but normally we launch on the 5th, and SelfEnlight.com for information, and also our Facebook page, which you can just connect with us on the front of the Awakenings profile. That'll send you there. I love all the connecting, so... and all the wonderful comments that, and insights that people leave, as well as videos. So all of that is great. If you happen to be new to Awakening and you're just tuning in, surfing in, and you'd like to interact, you can listen as a guest. That's great. But if you'd like to interact, you just need to register with Blog Talk Radio, which is just your name and email address, and that'll get you interactive in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. We always have some wonderful people in there anchoring the energy, the light, and insight as well. And if you would like to call in for questions, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. I am extending into... actually, I don't know, indefinitely, I don't know, probably for January for sure, in February, adjustment on the readings, and a little bit different than what I did on the holidays, but still a nice adjustment. So if you're interested in that, you can email info@selfinlight.com. And so this year, I'm always really focused and dedicated. It's such a passion and a joy for me to walk these steps with everyone in the various ways, whether it's through awakenings or workshops or personally working with people with my books or CDs, or just connecting with people at the park, at the beach, on the street, whatever, at Agape Spiritual Center, where I sometimes teach. However it unfolds, I definitely feel very blessed to connect with everyone and to be of service. So let me know in the new year how I can be of service. And you can do that by connecting at awakenings@selfandlight.com. And also any guest ideas. We've had some good suggestions from people, and I do send them on to the people that work with me. So any guest suggestions or topics, as well as questions. I still am answering questions. Oh, that was one thing I did want to share with all of you, is that questions that are, let's see, they can be of a personal nature. If you want me to answer them on air or on my blog, they can't particularly be about a specific relationship, but they can be about relationships in general. I mean, you can mention the specifics of the relationship, but to get that kind of need to spend that time and tune in, you really need to either call in online, 347-539-5122, press 1, or schedule an appointment. But general questions that about the path or about the awakening, about the new emerging consciousness, you know, spiritual integration, intuition development, or, you know, psychic development or channeling, anything that other people can be relevant to other people as well, those kind of get key, precedence. So, but I do love the emails, and you can either send them to info@selfandlight.com and they'll get forwarded to me, or awakenings@selfandlight.com. And then, of course, I think we had Charles Monopoly was putting some on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, .com. So either way, they'll get to me, and then I love answering. So I will definitely do that. But because what I do is I've been taking the synthesis of the information that I've been getting, or the questions or comments, and blending those. So we have more to go through, a lot more to go through. And I'm definitely doing readings today. Again, 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment, press 1 so if we have somebody. And then I really want to dive in, because this year, by the way, we do have Robert Wilkinson, astrologer, metaphysician extraordinaire, will be here January 26th, so you don't want to miss that. We're going to be working a lot from a spiritualist point of view, metaphysical point of view, and working with wisdom keepers' knowledge, specifically this year. I mean, I want to bring on people that are also have that focus to do readings and get insight, just because there is so much going on this year. Some of you may already be feeling, actually it's starting a little bit slow because we are in an extended gateway that's normally November, December, and so you feel we're in this lull. But what's happening etherically is, think of like turning a dial, or you're turning a dial, or you're opening the lid to something, right? You're opening the lid to some wonderful juice, okay? And you're twisting it. And so it's not quite open yet, but you know that there's something there. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. This lid is being twisted, is being opened. And so there's still in a lull of the old energy patterns being more dissipated. They're not going to be completely gone, but they are dissipating out. Some of them are being transmuted into the new. Some of them have already been transmuted or recalibrated. Some of them are, you know, so all this is happening etherically. So we're in that kind of lull. It's almost like, okay, have you ever been to a big city and those doors where some people are going in, some people are going out? I don't know if you call them a little roundabout or whatever. You know, you push on the door to get in, especially if they have them in colder climates. And so you could keep going around and around in that. Or you could come out the other side to the outside, or you could come out the other side to the inside. So that's where we are right now energetically. So it's actually a really powerful time, plus we have the lunar eclipse, now we're into the solar eclipse, starting to get at the apex of that, and then the waning cycle of that. So it really is a time to really learn how to harness those energies and align to them, harness them, flow with them, and to know what to do. Is it a time to harness? Is it a time to flow with it? Is it a time to retreat? Really, it's going to require people really become energetic. Well, you are energetic beings, but become more aware of that you are energetic beings and how to kind of ride with this. All right, let's see. We have a question, and I've got new screens and new stuff in the back end. So those of you that also do shows, New River, my hair salon put one of those in and I hate it. Okay, New River in the chat, what is it called? What is that doorway called? And but it can't. But that's what. There you go. That is going to be 2011, and into mid 2012 is going to be one of those doors. Would anybody know what those doors are? Put it in what it's called. Please put it in the chat or call me and let me know. That sums up 2011. Some people are going to keep going round and round and round that door. They're not going to be able to get out. They're not going to be able to go on the inside. They're not going to be going on the outside. They're going to be stuck going round and round. Some people are going to get stuck on the inside. Some people stuck on the outside. Some people will kind of find their destination on the inside and be able to go between two worlds, inside and outside, or upper dimension and lower dimension. So it just depends. Because if you've ever been in those doors, you've got to know when to push and when to not push. And also, I don't know if sometimes people have gotten caught going the wrong way. So that's a real, I don't know what those are, circular door or roundabout door. I don't know. But anyway, you guys got the picture. That sums up, and I should put that in my forecast. Revolving door. Is that what it is, Simon? Thank you. Revolving door. Okay, so the revolving door, are you going to do and repeat what was done before? I will tell you, you can't go back. The old energy is not going to allow people, the new energy, rather, is not going to allow people to go back to the old. So you're not going to be able, it's like going back home years later and finding that your house is no longer there, or somebody sold it, or they demolished it. So you're going to have to find, people are going to have to find ways to move forward. Or stay put where you are, just in the roundabout. If the roundabout is really, or revolving door is really crowded, you can't push. So, yeah. All right. Let's see. Okay. So we've got caller. How do you do this? Okay, great. 865-494. Welcome to Awakening. Hi. Hello, hello.
Hi, this is New River. How are you?
Hi, New River. Thank you.
How are you doing
door.
Today? Pardon?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well today. I'm really excited. I'm listening to your show. I'm just overwhelmed listening to this because actually this is the kind of show that I've been looking to listen to for a while.
Ooh, good. And you know what? We just had New River Tammy put, sounds like Wheel of Fortune, round and round. That's true, too. Have you had any experience with this revolving door energy?
Yeah. I hate those doors.
They're tricky. They're tricky, aren't they?
They are tricky. Yeah, and you've got people trying to go out the same time you're going in, and they're just so small. I mean, I'm a little person, but they're still too small. I just don't like them.
I tell you, I've had actually a couple of years of scary little experiences in there, because if you're not used to them, and also if you get in there and there's a lot of people, like I was in one in New York, also Chicago, that are business, you know, corporate, and they got to go. The financial, there they are, you know. And they're whipping around in that thing. Everybody's pushing, you know. And if you miss that opening to get out, you go around again.
Yes, you did.
Right?
Yes, you do. I had two questions for you. Actually, one about is about the awakening, actually, that you were talking about earlier. I had an awakening, actually, this year. And I've got this thirst, an overwhelming thirst for knowledge on how I can ascend to a higher level. I've done astral travel a few times. I've even met with my dad doing this, which I had no idea that that's what I was going to do at the time. I wasn't even thinking of my dad. And I'm having a really hard time focusing on it. I don't know if I'm trying too hard or what I'm doing wrong, but my thirst of knowledge for this is just, it's consuming me. What does this mean?
Yes, this is wonderful. You hit the part, which is really, that's the part that we call the honey part. Mm-hmm. Your higher self gives you the taste for something, just like mm-hmm. sugar, sweetness. This is the Shakti, the bliss. This is the nectar that you mm-hmm. get from any spiritual practice when you get to a certain level, whether it's a meditation practice or esoteric practice or even, focusing on, wisdom teachings or esoteric knowledge. So the thirst is the urge, and mm-hmm. the thirst can only be quenched by our true nature or our true selves. Uh-huh. And that's this initiation. Actually, when you get to that phase of thirst, it is a form of initiation, because uh-huh. what happens is the aspirant, the person that's aspiring you to go to that next level of awakening, begins to realize nothing quenches this
right.
but the divine, right, or God, or my spiritual self or soul self. So that thirst is leading you, it's like gasoline, it's giving you the fuel to continue. It actually has an energetic component. I bet you feel like an urgency sometimes to have to read something or do something.
Oh, I do, constantly.
Spiritual.
But I also feel, yes, but I also, well, I meditate, and that's how I actually came upon this, and I had astral traveled as a child and completely forgot about it until I had my awakening this year. And I have this surge of energy that just comes over me that's just unbelievable, the tingly feeling, and it's just like a whirling all over my body. It's incredible. I absolutely, it's like a drug. It's amazing,
yes.
and I love it. But I'm at a standstill right now, and I'm very frustrated with that, and I don't know which way to go or what to do. I just know I want to continue going higher and higher.
Okay, stay on the line. Oh, wonderful. Are you still on the line?
Uh-huh, yes.
Oh, perfect. Good, good, good. Yeah, for some reason, my internet, and I don't know, and Skype has been going out kind of intermittently for the last half hour. I've been logged on.
No.
So guess, everybody, if I get bumped off again, I also call back on my cell phone, just stay on the line, because you won't be disconnected. I'm disconnected, and I can answer. So tell me again about the standstill, New River.
As I'm trying to meditate now, and I'm trying to focus where I can have an OBE which is my absolute favorite, I'm not getting anywhere, and I'm trying to speak with my spirit guides on a daily basis and ask questions, and it's just as if I'm at a wall and I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting there, and I could sit there for an hour each time. I get nothing. I feel nothing. But I
yeah,
want this,
okay,
and I know.
Too on the path. Yeah, that happens too. Now, one thing is when you get used to something and you already have it, a lot of times your higher self will redirect you to something else. So the astral travel, my sense is you're not needing to do that now. You've kind of got that wired, okay?
Okay.
So it's about ascending in a different way.
Okay.
Believe it or not, one thing that helps in this is journaling, also some form a different changing your meditation practice. So maybe a walking meditation or doing breath work. And then just asking, one thing that I love to do is I do an ascension meditation, which is an alignment meditation with breath work, and it just takes maybe a minute or two. And then I bring, when you're doing your meditation, if you bring your awareness, and we can all do this now, just eyes open or eyes closed, bring your awareness to the crown chakra, the top of the head. And as you breathe up, you feel yourself moving upward, and you're going to go to about beyond the seventh chakra, you're going to go into the eighth, which is where you connect to the higher self. The ninth chakra is about ascension. So you start strengthening what we call that funnel of light, or Shishumana in the Eastern tradition, which connects us to our light body and other bodies as we diffuse more into collective consciousness, if you will, and back into source. And what I would suggest, New River, is from that place, practice getting out of the mind. Because, see, a lot of times, a certain part of our path, we're really focused still on the sixth chakra and below, which the sixth chakra is still in the denser physical body. It's not bad or wrong, but it still has more of our personal will, our personal intent there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to raise up, and then even as you breathe out, feel yourself stabilizing up there. And if you feel yourself collapsing back into the body, see, you can do astral projection. You can ascend without having to do it in kind of the old-fashioned way. You can just do it by your consciousness, and you will be projecting. So I would suggest doing that. And then from that place, ask either, what do I need to know now? What's right action for me? Or show me a sign on my path. I like to say with my higher self and my guides and spirit, you know, if I'm putting it all out there or working specifically, I say, and I want a couple of confirmations. Sometimes I'll ask for five or six. because you know, the more evolved we get, the more enlightened, the more aware, the more so does our ego, personality.
Right,
and so it gets a
right.
little trickier. It can fool us sometimes, you know.
Five or six is good.
Yeah, I've got some things that I go, yeah, that was very enlightened. And then later, a few hours or even days later in my meditation, it's revealed. And I say, oh, no, that was from the ego. What happened? It was still pretty, you know, spiffy, but it was like, no, that Michelle.
Right,
that was not
right.
your higher self coming through, okay?
I understand. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'll finish listening to the show. Maybe this can get answered. Is there a reason why that we're ascending or progressing? Is it where we're going into another dimension? Is this what the awakening is about?
Yes, and now that's a really good question. The awakening, this is why the show is called Awakenings. It actually happens in waves. And if you look back in your life, you'll see that it's like a succession of opening, like a flower. You know, that's why the lotus, and that's why actually flowers are used as a spiritual metaphor. So we're constantly awakening more and more to the truth of who we are, the totality of who we are.
Right.
One of the things it said, we incarnate or came into this planet or this dimension, however you want to look at it, is to work within form and to work within the polarity plane. That's why we have, but we're ascending, which means when we ascend, we're moving out of duality or out of the extremes of the polarity plane into unity or unification or unity consciousness. Doesn't mean we still won't have individual consciousness or being individuated, but more and more people will live, and our systems now need to be infused with the consciousness, the truth that we're all one. We're all from one source. We're all connected through this resonant field. We are the resonant field. So the ascension is really about going beyond duality. It's going beyond the us and them. It's going beyond the separation.
Right.
So it's encoded within our genes and also in a what we call the energetic matrix, that we were to have this collective individual and collective awakening and shift of consciousness. So it's been planned, like, because we can only go so far with the focus on the individual, or like I like to say, the me. We're moving into the we. So we're not excluding the me, but the reality that people will live more and more knowing that, hey, I'm just an aspect of you expressing this way and getting to know myself this way, or God, God expressing through us as us, getting to know different aspects of us and playing out different aspects. So that's what we've been doing. We've been playing different things out and feeling emotions, the emotions, the energy in motion, to feel and see what it's like to experience and express through physicality, through form, through material form. But what happened is, through some manipulations of power and misinformation, it became a focus on the, instead of the ego personality as a template, it became man-made running the show and not from the spiritual aspect.
Right, right. That's what I'd wondered, how and why we were here as humans. You know, what would be the, you know, why? What would be the advantage of us being in flesh instead
of spirit? The thing... Yeah, well, you're both. See, that's the thing. We're not. Many are hybrids. There's the light beings, the star seeds, which I happen to be, you know, both, but a star seed. So, what part of the ascension is, you will realize and recognize. You will realize and recognize that you're all at once. See, you still have, and as you extend out or ascend, you begin to see that you're having multidimensional, simultaneous experiences. Some are in form or some are not in form. So this is what I work with a lot as a guide, you know, psychic medium, remote channeler, if you want to say, is, you know, that's why in the Bible it says you have many mansions. Those mansions and many rooms that you live in are dimensions. So,
Wow.
Metaphysical interpretation of the Bible is very kick-ass.
Yes, it is.
Follow the Lord really meant follow the law, which was about the universal law. Sin was about separation. What's tripped people up is not the original sin. It was the original separating out when we extended into physical form, human form, to have this human experience that is of a more denser physical plane and working through things. See, there are planes where we just exist, or we exist by thought, or we exist by feeling, sensory feeling, where we exist as a collective. But this is, we're playing this out, this whole thing about, you know, you have to type something and make something. You get in this mechanical thing and, you know, you create things that are mechanical and made out of stone. The Aquarian age is the age we're in, is the age of light, or the age of enlightenment. And that light is information, it's insight. It's also more light energetically from a frequency point of view. But it brings, the light brings more awareness and understanding of what we really are. It's also the crystalline age. And the crystalline age, this is why you see so much happening with computers and smartphones. It's that little crystal, right, inside that makes the technology work. So eventually we'll realize that we are human crystals. We are human divine crystals. We are of crystalline nature. We're actually of all the elements. Obviously earth, air, water, fire, but we're also mineral. So we are the sun and the moon, the planets. This is why the planets affect us, because they are an aspect of us and we're an aspect of them.
Right, right. This all makes more sense now to me.
Wonderful.
Can you hear me?
Now, and that, yes. And that's a wonderful meditation as well, is to when you do the alignment meditation, when you allow your consciousness to ascend, is actually ascend into the planets that you know of, or even one planet that you want to work with energetically, those qualities. Let's say it's Venus, working on receptivity, working on your values, principles, beliefs, working on the love nature, working on being more magnetic, is to connect into Venus and feel yourself as Venus. Feel yourself as a step-down energy or version of Venus. That's why there is no separation. So that's why whatever we're going through, the earth, the stars, the heavens, the universe is going through, whatever the universe is going through, the world is going through, we're going through. And as it's said in the Taoist tradition of the I Ching, as above, as so below, as within, so without. In the great Hermetic philosophy, as within, as without. And that's what that meant. As above. So you look above and you see the sun, as below, they're one and the same.
They're one and the same, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. You've helped me out tremendously here. Do you feel a high amount of energy from me?
Do I feel what?
Do you feel like a high volume of energy coming from me?
I feel you need to work more with the crown chakra, because there's like a ball of energy. Literally, I feel it like a ball, and it's kind of it's interesting. Like there's kind of like some reddish orange, almost like a fireball. So I feel like you're working with drawing that energy more into the physical body and using it with your creations.
You got
to create. So even movement meditation, but really working with that crown and feeling that energy coming through the etheric body, the mental, emotional, physical body, really feeling it come through. But that might be why they kind of pulled the plug, your guides, your higher self, on that, so that you can connect. I know when I first had my I was born. I came in as a psychic channel and, as an infant, in the womb even, because we have remembrances there, and was channeling at age four. But what was interesting is I wasn't a great psychic until later. And my guides told me was because I did have such a strong ego and intent, I was able to will things to happen, that they didn't want to overdevelop that chakra. So I developed channeling and being a medium and remote viewing, all that kind of stuff, all the channeling and, you know, working with guides and angels, everything that came from the higher upper chakras. Doing tarot readings or psychic readings, but that's the sixth chakra, I was so at. It wasn't until later that I did enough self-development work and work on my ego and work on my emotional body that gift was opened up. And that's when my clairaudience, clairsentience, all of that came into view and being an empath. But so sometimes something is held back so that we can complete, and everybody's different. This is why working with a teacher or a guide or a mystic, because they'll know, you know what, you need to hold that back because you'll overdevelop that, and that'll actually take you, you know, in a direction that you don't want to go, that just kind of takes you off course.
Okay. That makes complete sense to me. And thank you very much, and I'm sorry that I took everyone's time up. I hope you've got time for other callers.
I do, and wherever the other caller, go ahead, come back.
Would
you have another question?
Yes, I know that you said that you didn't want to touch base on relationships, but I did have one quick question.
I can't hear. Just if people email me. If you call in, or if you get a private reading with me, or you call in on the show, you can ask specifics. But it, when people email me questions about just a person, then it's very difficult for me to answer, because if I get too many of those, because I try to synthesize all the email questions. And again, people send it to info@selfinlight, let me just put this in the chat, .com, or awakenings@selfinlight.com, and just put question or reading, and then I will do that.
Okay.
Okay, I love that name, by the way.
I did have a question about, I've been in a 17-year marriage, and we are very different on our beliefs, and I feel like I'm at a crossroads, and I'm not really happy with it. Do you see someone else coming into my life?
I do, and I feel like that's why work with the crown chakra. You'll also be working, I feel, on the emotional body, kind of getting that. Because I do feel a lot of healing energy around. I feel like maybe even you're going to work with healing. I feel like there's a whole new part, like for you opening up, that maybe even some of your friends down the road say, wow,
right,
look what she's doing.
Right.
We didn't know you were into all this stuff.
Right,
so, yeah,
right.
Have some big changes, and also some travel with your work. You're going to be traveling, doing workshops or doing groups as well. So, what's Texas mean around you?
I have a friend that lives in Texas. It's very clairvoyant.
You're probably going to be visiting there. And
oh,
you
wow.
might even think of there. But you're definitely going to visit. I can see you there.
Well, that's wonderful, because we've actually talked about that recently.
Ah, perfect. And they'll help you get started in your work purpose. This is a time for people to connect to their soul gifts and their soul purpose.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Nisa. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, and I'll be a faithful follower, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Call anytime. Share. Come back.
Okay.
Visit in the chat. Great to have you.
Oh. I will, definitely. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank
you. Okay, we got a Skype caller here that I don't know. So if you're Skypey, all it says is 111. You hung up before, and then you came back.
Oh, that's
that
me.
Ring a bell? That's
Hello.
You, exactly. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can now, yes. Hi.
Oh, hi.
What's your first name?
My name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Did you have a question or a comment?
I do. I have a question. I've been working on my spiritual path, and I sort of fell off the wagon from a kind of a traumatic experience that I went through. It just kind of shocked me, knowing the outcome of it. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went away for a short while, but I was getting back on to that spiritual path, and I was just wondering what you might see.
You could speak up just a little bit, or more in the better, much better. Yes.
I'm sorry, I was sick last night, but I've been listening to the radio, and I wanted to call in. I was wondering what you saw for me in the way of career. Any changes there?
I feel you're wanting to make changes. I'm just not seeing it right away for some reason. I feel something blocking. Now, you said illness. Are you recovering from something that has to do with tiredness or exhaustion also? Because I feel like there's a – and maybe it's this relationship. I feel like there's a deeper healing happening for you. And the guides – actually, the oversouls are coming in now and saying, tell her, please, not to push it. What does that mean?
Oh, well, I keep having a relapse from this bug I picked up from my son. So,
okay. Then,
yeah,
and you keep having a relapse, and that must be what they're talking about. I feel for you right now, it's a lot about your own personal healing. If you could connect in somehow with something creative that brings you great pleasure, but in a quiet way, whether it's writing, drawing, painting, beading, jewelry making, knitting, something that I feel is just yours that also kind of relaxes the mind and body, because I feel your nervous system. Your nervous system is overtaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So things like, good B complex with C, extra B1, B12, hops, calming things on a homeopathic level would really help you right now. But you're in a deeper healing, and it's on a mental, emotional, but also on a physical level.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you hit it right on. I was wondering if you might give me some guidance on how I can make my relationship with my sister better.
By leaving her, I feel you're around people, or you want to be. You're split right now a little bit, kind of into where you want to be, what you want to grow into, and the past is holding you back. And you're one of the. I had a little bit of that this holiday after the holidays. One of the things really want to share with everybody. One of the things that's coming up. And I won't get too much into astrology. I'll do it from a psychic, energetic point of view, but I'll just touch on the Saturn and Libra, the squaring, we've got the aspect of Pluto and Capricorn. Remember that relationships are structure. They're structuring energy. A lot of people miss this. They keep saying, oh, Pluto and Capricorn, that means the economy, and that's about institutions or banking, and that's about companies. Well, it's about us individually. Because we're a structure. We're an energetic structure. So anything that is putting energy in form, is structuring energy, is going to be realigned, readapted. So relationship with yourself, relationship with other people. The Aquarian age is about resonance. You don't see certain flowers with certain other flowers, or you don't see things that can only thrive in the desert thriving in the tropical rainforest or a jungle. Both of them, none of them are bad. It's not about being bad. What it is about is they're not resonating. The soil is different. One needs sand and one needs, rich peat moss or something. Ferns don't grow in the desert. So we're all being called to recognize, like our caller talked about earlier, that New River that brought this up about, we're all connected. That's part of the ascension. So when we remember that we're all connected and we're all aspects of each other, when we can hold on to that soul connection or spiritual connection and then say, but on this level or this dimension, in this human game, mentally, emotionally, or maybe physically, we're not a match. Some people you're going to have to just move on from, wind out of, or as one of my great teachers told me, love them from a distance, love them from afar.
Right.
So some you're going to have to choose your life over some other people's lives. And it's not about cutting them out. It's not about the 80s of, I told them I can't, they don't understand my feelings, and that's that. It's not about cutting off. It's just going more where you resonate. And where there's less resonance and more disharmony or dissonance, you spend less and less time there. And for some people, it might be a lot of time, a lot of less time. And for other people, it may be, again, it's kind of boundaries, but I would say more spiritual boundaries in a way, if I could put it that way. What it is it's learning right relationship with yourself and with others.
Right.
Within that right use of will. And right livelihood.
Right. And I have one question about a particular relationship that I have been trying to get out of. I'm just wondering, this person says that they are depressed, but I'm not getting that feeling from them. I'm just wondering if you see that.
That you're not getting what? I can't hear you again.
Oh,
there you go. Perfect.
This this friend of mine says that he's depressed, and I'm just wondering, you know, I don't want to leave totally, you know, if, you know, they're depressed, but I feel like on some levels I'm being played. So what are yours?
Yeah, well, I feel even like with the sister, I feel that that's part of your healing on a mental, emotional level. I mean, go to my website, selfandlight.com. There's, and it's free. You can just print it out, some of the clearing work. There's a basic clearing that you can do. Or if you feel inclined, you can also get the, I don't know, CD or the MP3. But I feel for you, people are easily able to plug into you to get help or sympathy. Or why are you pulling away from me, or I need to talk to you, or I care about you so much, or you hurt me because you're not listening, you know. So I do feel for you, you're really stepping into that spiritual discernment where, and rather than say played, what I would suggest to you, feel this out, is to just see they're acting from their wound. You know, we're all wounded, but some of us live in it and marinate in it, right?
Right.
So if you can see that person is just, they're wounded, and their wound is instead of asking for what they need and want, is kind of manipulating results, you know, or feeling more of a victim energy and wanting you to take time to rescue or work things out for them and with them. So I do feel for you a lot of this healing, and that will also help the relapse with the illness, is practice taking more time for yourself, even if that part kind of makes you feel a little guilty. You just say, okay, I know you feel guilty. Okay, I hear you. Okay, but we're going to learn this new way. And I think the more that you can step into that, the more your vitality, because you need to get your vitality up.
Mm-hmm.
The chi, the natural energy, the pranic life force energy. Okay. And once that happens, then you'll be able to do some of the things that you really, really want to do.
Okay. That makes total sense.
All righty. Thanks for joining in. Hi. Blessings.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yes, yes.
Thank you. Great. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Blessings, Sharon. Some great, great guests here. This is wonderful. And a lot about giving to yourself. It's a really of time to give to yourself and be centered in self, centered in the extended self or expanded consciousness. We have a wonderful guest today, which I'm kind of interested to see what she is going to be sharing with us about the coming of age, which we're all we're actively doing personally, or I would say individually as well as collectively. That's a lot of the awakening is this great coming of age, isn't it? We have Deanna Lamb, and she focuses on mentoring girls into womanhood. She's the author of Becoming Peers, Mentoring Girls into Womanhood, and the creator of the Maiden Acts, 5 Steps to Making Coming of Age Easier and Womanhood Richer. And that's interesting, M-A-I-D-E-N, so acronym for something. And just want to give a warm welcome to Deanna Lamb. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
To the program.
Hi. Pleasure to be here. It's good to meet you on the air, Michelle.
Oh, yes, you too. Well, I want to dive right in. What is this, the Maiden Acts, 5 Steps to Making Coming of Age Easier and Womanhood Richer, M-A-I-D-E-N?
Yeah, the Maiden Acts is really a blueprint or a template for the work that I offer women and mothers of daughters, but women of all ages as well. So the M for the Maiden stands for menarche. And this is where my work starts, because most of us women around the world have not been welcomed into womanhood when we first came of age. So menarche, some people pronounce it menarche, is the very first menstrual blood that a girl receives, and that is her transition, her body signaling that she is transitioning into womanhood. Well, I travel around the world, different cultures, different religions, different ways of living, and across the board, most women have not been welcomed. So even though most women search me and find me because they want to welcome their daughters, I point the arrow back into them, back into their own coming-of-age maiden, the menarche ritual or the ceremony or the welcoming or the celebration that they never received. And we start there. Because otherwise, the fact that we have not been welcomed is overshadowing how we approach our daughters. Plus, the way that we haven't been welcomed, coupled with societal negativities around menstruation, and there is a lot of it, you know, the curse is one of the prevalent ways of looking at it.
I hate it, people calling it that. Awful.
Yes, yes, and it's amazing how much still it has a hold on in people's language and in people's consciousness. So if you couple the fact that we have not been welcomed and received in an empowering way to womanhood with societal negativity about menstruation, you get PMS. You get women's symptoms, which are not a necessity, which are not a requirement, and they are really here to call our attention to the fact that we need to take time, we need to rest, we need to replenish monthly. So so that's
now, one
the,
thing I
the
wanted
journey
to talk
starts.
To Deanna,
yes.
Right? Deanna? Deanna.
Yes. Yes.
And how do you say your last name? Liam?
Lam.
Lam. Lam. Okay, there was like a little lam.
Yes.
Bomb. Okay.
Yeah, there is an apostrophe.
Apostrophe. Okay. One thing I wanted to ask you now, this is because we are connecting, you know, this Aquarian age, old new age, if you will, this age of enlightenment, is a lot about connecting into the divine feminine and
yes,
beyond our old concepts of, you know, feminine, but feminine as creator. What do you
yes.
feel happened? Because I do feel this whole thing with... you know, the time, it's funny, because March is also like monarch. It's a time of, a you know, kind of coming free, if you will. What do you feel? Because I feel your work is really important right now because there has to be a welcoming of that part and a life-giving aspect.
Yes.
What do you feel happened
yes.
to not welcome it, as you say?
I believe that a lot of it had to do with moving the culture from honoring the divine feminine and Earth Mother and motherhood generally as women's ability to give birth to a godfather. And everything
right.
kind of shifted from the sacred feminine to the sacred masculine. And I do feel that we've been in one polarity with the sacred feminine. We've gone to the extreme polarity with, on the other hand, with the sacred masculine that in some ways backfired on us. And that we are now at an opening of a partnership of divine femininity and masculinity together. But what happened in the last 2,000 years is that the divine feminine lost her voice and lost her visibility. And as a symbol of that, the symbol of what marks woman's ability to give birth is her menstrual blood, and that is what was most suppressed.
Now, we had a question or comment in the chat that from Lucian. He learned in the past women use blood from menstruation to heal wounds. The blood was pure and still is. And he would find this to be the blood so pure has purpose in cleansing. I've heard of that, or even planting.
Yes. What I go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's it.
All right, so let me comment on that. I think that's very true. Well, I'll start with talking about the blood being pure. We all
okay.
have come to notice an odor about the menstrual blood, and what I'd like to let women know is that our blood, when it comes out of our body, is odorless. If you cut yourself on your finger, you don't have any odor to your blood. Well, neither is our womb blood have any odor. What happens is the odor that we have become familiar with has been created by the chemical reaction between our menstrual blood and all the chemicals that are infused in the hygiene products, you know, the bleach and other chemicals that the disposable products are infused with. And when I started some 17 years ago to use menstrual reusable cloth pads, the odor went away. So the odor is not inherent in our blood. It's inherent in the chemical reaction with the chemicals that are in the product. So that's kind of in a parenthesis. The blood is, well, let's look at what the blood is that we shed monthly from our womb. It is the inner lining of our womb, which, if we conceive a child, this inner lining is the tissue that would feed it. It's full of life-giving substances. It's full of nutrients. And throughout pregnancy, it will feed the fetus. So no one in the right mind would think this to be gross. Well, how come if we don't conceive, the same tissue that would have been supporting life, once it's shed from us because we haven't conceived, all of a sudden it's gross? Well, there's something doesn't compute there. It's still a life-giving substance. It's still full of nutrients. And when I started this journey myself, like I said, some 17 years ago, I started giving my blood because I was collecting it in reusable cloth, so I had to soak it in order to clean
it. That's what
and
they
gave,
wanted. Yes. Okay, that's what people are asking in the chat. What is reusable? Reusable cloth pads.
Okay, so reusable cloth pads. You can Google reusable menstrual cloth pads. There are hundreds of companies. I'm not going to give one or the other name. I don't want to advertise anyone. There are many companies. They're cloth, flannel. Some of them are organic. They're made exactly like the regular disposable pads. Some of them have wings that snap around your underwear. They have different thicknesses and lengths for light flow and heavy flow. Some of them have inserts of more padding, more cloth. So just basically something that will catch your blood and is reusable. So you would soak it in water, and you might want to give what I do, your soaked water with this nourishing substance to your houseplants, which mine are, you know, shooting up for years. I have never found any fertilizer as good as this, or to your garden or to your favorite rose bush or whatever. And then you put it in the washing machine, and then you have it again and again and again. And not only that, you save a lot of money because those products are obviously the reusable ones would be, you know, lasting you for years as opposed to the disposable ones which you buy monthly. The other thing is that you would be really taking a stand for the environment, because the other part of it is that the feminine hygiene products are the number two cloggers of landfills, following closely behind number one, which is baby's diapers. So behind the baby's diapers, number two are women's hygienic products, which are just clogging the landfills. And we can go back to how our grandmothers used to do it, which use cloth. Hence the term rag, which became derogatory, but it was a cloth rag that was used to catch the menstrual blood and reused after washing.
So let's see, and I want to just let people know, okay, the website, if you're listening, or I'll put it in the chat as well, is deannalam.com, and that's DEANNALAM. .com, okay, and the book that we're touching on right now is Becoming Peers, Mentoring Girls into Womanhood. All right, and I also see you have a red tent.
Yes, this is part of the work. I have a traveling red tent, yes.
Wow, okay. So let's back up a little bit, because I really wanted, I saw that acronym and I wanted to know. So how did you come to this as being a passion and focal point for you, really an aspiration and a vocation? How did that come about for you, Deanna?
So I touched on it a moment ago when I was responding to the question about the reusable cloth pads. Some 17, 18 years ago, I was trained as a counselor. I was leading groups. I was being having a thriving private practice, but so everything was going well, but my cycle every month got me to a place where I was almost dysfunctional, not so much physically. I didn't have much physical pain, but I got really irritable every month during my PMS time. So I decided to try and get a handle of it because everything else was working really well and this wasn't. So I started researching it, and that's when I came across, first of all, the realization that in all indigenous cultures around the world, in times past, women were revered for their ability to give life, and hence the menstrual time was revered as a time of prophecy, as a time of shamanic journeying, where women were not expected to engage in mundane daily tasks, but really to go inward and to receive spiritual insight and inspiration and bring that to the tribe, and the tribe would take their answers to the tribe's question, the answers of the menstruating women, as guidance for the tribe. And the ability of our actual tissues that are shed from our womb to be nourishing to the plant. So I started using those menstrual cloth pads, so that's how I started. I had a whole gamut of emotional reaction because, like every woman that I meet now and talk with about this issue, I was, grew up to think that this is gross, and I was revolted, but then I was also curious. So I started doing experimenting and doing some sort of an internal journey, both towards embracing my menstrual time as a time of going inward and, you know, stopping using the disposable pads. And the results were just amazing. You know, I started being able to really tap into a source of intuition inside of me and a spiritual guidance that at other times of the month weren't as clear and weren't available to me when I was irritable and not honoring my menstruation. So the irritability was what I discovered was almost like my body tagging at my skirt and calling my attention to stop and to go inward rather than to try and function. So that's how I started with my own journey. And then since I was already working as a group facilitator, I realized that many women need to hear about this because it shifted my life dramatically. So that's when I started shifting the focus of my work from general life coaching to this particular focus, and have been doing this ever since.
Wow. Now, as you're speaking of this, and I know we're speaking mainly for women and the menstruation, I'm feeling there's a correlation or corresponding for men. And as we're connecting, of course, on some level we're all one, but we're talking, you know, gender and earthly human.
Yes.
But it seems to be this going within. I'm wondering if, because things were set up so patriarchal, and I agree with you. At one point, the matriarchal kind of misused some power, and then we swung way over to the patriarchal, and now it seems like we're rebalancing.
Yes.
Because we've been on this over-focus, and maybe that's also why I love how you put it, the non-welcoming and unfortunately in some ways denigrating of this aspect of womanhood. I'm wondering if as more women are more comfortable going within at this time and celebrating it and honoring the inward time, if that will also have an effect on the men around us being able to honor their feminine time of going within. Any thought
that's a
of
very
that?
Very good. That's a very good point. The correlation to men that I saw, I mean, what you're bringing is a new point, and I really like it. The way that I've been holding the correlation to men is twofold. One is that in the same way that women, girls, have not been welcomed into womanhood, men and boys have not been welcomed into manhood either. So in the same way that I encourage women, and that's my work is with women, is I guide them to revisit their time of coming of age and to heal what's still wounded there, I would advise men to get together and to journey towards their coming of age. Obviously, there isn't a one moment in time like the first menstrual blood, but often I speak with men and they identify the time of the changing of their voice as their rite of passage, which wasn't honored and was often made fun of. So inviting men to start looking at what wounding happened for them in the transition from boyhood to manhood, and to be allowing themselves to welcome each other, because that's what I do in my groups, is that I believe that it's never too late to be welcomed into womanhood, regardless of what age we're in. So that's what I guide women in, and I advise men to do the same, to really collectively start holding in the healing space the transition inside of each of them from boyhood to manhood. So that's one thing that I want to put out as a parallel. The other thing is that it's interesting to note, if we look at the Native American tribes and the sweat lodges, that it is often considered that the sweat lodges are a purifying ceremony for men, because they don't have the purification and the cleansing that happens from for women naturally, monthly, by shedding the inner lining of their wombs. So it is my understanding that that's why the sweat lodges were created for men, as an equivalent, as a time for them to go in prayer and in solitude, and going into the womb of the mother, if you like, within the sweat lodge, and that that is their parallel experience of getting in touch with the depths and cleansing what no longer serves them, in a way that women are invited to do ceremonially while they bleed.
And so it really is, it feels like what you're talking about is a demarcating the passage of this, a certain passage of time.
Yes.
Or an experience,
more
perhaps.
More than a demarcation, not only giving it an acknowledgement, but celebrating and modeling, you know, the way that, that womanhood is not being modeled in an empowering way. So what my message is that we need to go in and heal our own welcoming and empower ourselves by reclaiming our menstruation as a powerful source of spirituality in our life, and then we can model that to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only the demarcation, but it really is shifting our mindset around our menstruation, reclaiming it, and starting to practice monthly renewal through it. And that needs to be done by starting with that point of demarcation when we first came of age, but then it expands into our current womanhood.
Yeah, I know for me, when I started doing that and really celebrating and using that as a time to go within, or not overly push if my body was wanting something else, it's very sacred. It's almost like a palatable feeling too. You can really feel the sacredness. I want to get your take too on a perhaps sociological, psychological point of view. You know, there's these, and I can't even believe how many things have sprung up over the last few years. But these things to either stop the menstruation, or make it shorter, or plan it, you know, or not make you have it happen at all. What is that reflecting?
I think it's reflecting fear. I think it's reflecting fear of the feminine and of the rising of femininity. I think there is a lot of cultural fear of the power of menstruation, and there is a need to kind of contain it and cut it off. I am very appalled by these attempts of either cutting short or completely eliminating a process which is so essential to our life cycle. So it's really scary. But I believe that it is fear-driven.
Okay.
A lot of, Well, I think there is, there is the shadow and the light part. So when we really live in our power with our femininity and embrace our menstruation, this tremendous power can go into internal journeys, into healing, into our own renewal, or maybe gifts that we can bring to our community as a result of that. When we don't allow ourselves to do that, then the tension that is built inside of our body erupts as what we call PMS, and women go anywhere from mild symptoms to really being rageful and demonic because they can't contain that tension inside of them. It's not honored. It's not allowed to be channeled productively. So then they kind of explode. So that created a huge fear in the culture, this explosiveness of women who really are misled by not honoring their blood in the first place, and then their explosiveness becomes something that the culture fears and medicates. So rather than going back to honoring it and using it in a positive way, we're trying, or the society is trying, to cut it off and medicate it out of fear of its power. Does that make sense?
And it does, but I want to understand a little bit better your perception of the fear of the power. Is it the life-giving, or is it that what one feels by going through this?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's the power of the life-giving force that women have that, you know, unfortunately only women have, and there is, I think, a fear of that, all the way to fear of the symptoms which I was describing. You know, when we don't honor it, then we start becoming full of tension, and it's released in an outrageous kind of a way, which, you know, is known as being on the rag. So there is fear of that, fear of the wrath of women who are quote unquote on the rag. So the fear goes both ways, from the power of it when it's in full empowered way, which is the power to give birth, which in some ways is maybe envied, maybe more than feared, all the way to the fear of the rage when that is a result of the blood not being honored.
So that's it. So the non-honoring is what's bringing up the, in a way, ab reaction. It's bringing up the non-life-enhancing symptoms, or,
yes,
you know, difficult to challenging, or some people might say negative symptoms. But
yes,
it's so entrenched in our society, though. I find in American culture, well, actually Latin too, but some French seem to be a little more okay with it. I mean, there's certain cultures that seem to be more okay with this aspect, but overall, it does seem to be, like you say, looked at as something like a curse, or let's hurry up and move through this, or why do we have to have this, you know?
Yes, yes, very much so, very much so. And, you know, this is a message that has been passed down collectively by society, and then individually from mother to daughter. You know, our grandmothers weren't welcomed, and our mothers weren't welcomed, and we weren't. And then we kind of go around blindly and pass on the same message to the daughters that are growing up these days, unless we shift, unless we do something conscious about it. And that's, again, why women need to consciously shift their own attitude to their own menstruation, because they can't be feeling that this is a nuisance or a curse and try to tell their daughters that it's actually a good thing, and for their daughters to be different. I mean, it doesn't work. It has
no,
to change
the daughter
them
will
first.
Pick it up. So what do you suggest as a start? Obviously, I'm sure in your book, Becoming Peers, Mentoring Girls into Womanhood, I'm sure there are some wonderful suggestions there, but for women that are, especially, let's look at mom, they're doing the healing, because I think there's so much right now with the awakening of more and more conscious parenting and people not wanting to pass on, you know, relating patterns or various patterns that are, you know, unhealthy or non-life enhancing. What is important for mothers to do if they're seeing that they carry this, there's a disconnect to what they're feeling about themselves and their own process in this and what they're passing on?
I would suggest my suggestion for the very first step that women that can listen today can go out and do this today is to go out and share the story of your first menstrual blood with another woman friend. I find that this story is by and large silent. That women, you know, share the story of how they lost their virginity, and women share stories of how they recovered from abuse and how they rose over obstacles. We tell each other everything, but the story of our first blood is by and large silent within us. It's kind of another way that we internalize the taboo around the subject. So I invite women to start by going out to, you know, sit in a cafe or sit in your living room or on a park bench with your friend, your girlfriend, your group of women friends, and share the story of your first period. Invite her or them to share their story. This has a tremendously bonding effect, because what I find is that since the story is mostly silenced and have not been shared until now, there is a lot of embarrassment and shame that is being carried inside women. And when they hear other women's stories, there is such a release and a relief, because we can relate to each and every story, where the details might be different, but the feelings that we felt as young girls with our first period are so similar across the board that it just is a soothing first step to begin with. So that is my first recommendation.
Okay. So it sounds like first just really talking about it honestly is a huge bonding, probably step of relief, but also a huge bonding step. Do you see, you know, more women doing this? I think you call it super aware moms. Would you see more of this awareness coming through, and women, and, you know, and I guess even men, because, you know, men are raising children too. So having that,
right,
that approach of being more welcoming their daughters into, because I find actually growing up that there's a lot of, yes, there's judgment a lot with the moms, but also I feel the fathers not knowing what to do with this stage.
Yes, yes.
From the girl. If the fathers get a little weird, a little funny, you know, go to your mother. I don't know how to do this. Go to your mother.
Yes.
And that right away brings a feeling of, you know, separation, and also can bring shame.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, this is all part of the same chain effect where none of us speaks about it. So if women start talking about it honestly with each other, then the next step would be for them to start talking about it openly with the men. So if this stops becoming a taboo, if a father has had conversations with his spouse or the mother of his children openly about it and received some answers to his questions and some language where he can talk about it in a way that's not scary, then he can handle talking with his daughter. But since no one talks about it, we don't have the language and we don't have the ease and we don't have the comfort zone to speak about it. So that's where my work is, that we start getting comfortable with it by visiting our own coming of age, the day of our own first period, that we create the ceremonies that we never had. And this is tremendously empowering and healing for women who never thought that they are carrying this amount of shame inside of them, because women don't walk around thinking about the day of their first period. It's, again, it's kind of locked in the cellars of their minds or their psyche.
Mm-hmm.
So when we open this up, there is first the realization of how much shame and wounding there is there, and then the ability to heal that, and then the empowerment of starting to hold our menstruation differently, and then comes the ability to start talking about it with our daughters, with our spouses, with men in the society at large, and stop having this be a subject that's unmentionable.
Yeah. It really is. That's a good way, the unmentionable. And especially if you've played sports or done any dancing or something like that, it really looked at the kind of an inconvenience, you know.
Yes, yes.
It's inconvenient. Now, one thing is, do you see a correlation at all with the upsurge in teen pregnancy?
Absolutely, yes. I think there is a very great connection, and it starts with the fact that girls don't honor their body. Girls don't even start conceiving their body as a temple, as a sacred thing. They don't feel that their ability to give life is anything special, definitely not sacred. And so when they are starved for affection, the thing that they can give is what the boys want, which they don't value. you know, if they had a diamond ring and someone would say, you know, I'd really like you and will hang out with you if you gave me your diamond ring, they probably wouldn't if they thought that this diamond ring is really a pride possession, is really a dear thing to them. Well, their body isn't. And that's why they're giving it so freely, because they are wanting approval. They are growing up in a society where femininity and woman's body is not considered to be something sacred, where the advertising and the corporate world gives them images of womanhood that they can't follow. You know, most of the models are really unrealistic in the way that their bodies looks in relation to how the average girl or woman looks like. So girls starve themselves, girls, you know, become bulimic and anorexic, girls loathe their body. So if this thing that you own, the one thing that you really don't think much of, would give you some attention from someone, then you give it freely.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing as you were talking, I kind of hearken back to the awareness that blood is the spirit or life force. And
yes.
Just like overuse of drugs or alcohol, we had at the top of the program before you called in, one of the guests was saying how, was saying how when they're tuning in, you know, doing some meditation or astral projecting, they get all tingly. And I said, well, that's the life force energy. I want to get your take on this. My contention is even a lot of these guys, especially boys, because I've done some work with at-risk youth and after-school programs, a while back, and a lot of them actually don't even want sex. They want connection, but they don't know how to get either connection to themselves. They're empty. They're empty. The girl is empty. They're both empty. All they know is, okay, if I do this thing, somehow we're going to be filled up for a while. And then the ultimate feeling is the baby. That's the next thing. It's like, oh, I'm really still empty. So now if I have something within me,
maybe I would be filled.
Yeah. And it's really, I feel until we, you know, really from a, somehow at home, but a lot of people aren't getting at home. So somehow within the fabric of our society, somehow get through that you're not going to be able to fill up or be fulfilled with this outer act, you know, or bringing more babies in or having more sex to try to fill up. Any thought about that?
Yeah, I think my response and my message would be to give them things that would be filling. So rather than letting them know that they would not be fulfilled from the outside, to really guide them through what would be fulfilling, you know, through connection to their inner spirit, into their inner being by sitting quietly and learning to be with themselves without having to seek external stimulation, by going inward, especially when they menstruate, by finding that there is a depth there that they can access, that they can start making art, they can journal, they can dream, they can really have a richness inside of them that needs nothing from the outside at that time. In fact, their body and their psyche doesn't want to be externally oriented, but really inward oriented. So if they start feeling that they can be fulfilled inwardly by going inside, then it would give them a huge amount of resilience to either someone asking them for a connection and being fulfilled through sexuality, or someone wanting to take advantage of them in any way through their body. If that is something that is fulfilling to them on a deeper level, then they're not likely to be
likely to
giving that up.
So to have those, I love that. And maybe that's also the thing to pass down is the sharing of that. I can just think it brings, you know, self confidence, self esteem, self love, self acceptance, self sacredness of the self by giving them and showing, modeling, as you said earlier, these ways of connecting in. Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Deanna, how do you work? Is it one-on-one? Is it group? Is it workshops? How do you offer your, you know, your wisdom, guidance, and support?
Well, all of the above. I used to only do workshops, but then, you know, the internet era happened upon us, and I became active, you know, online through my website and through a very thriving and exciting community on Facebook that I started. It's called Red Tents in Every Neighborhood, which has kind of exploded with you know, we've been on online for only a few months, and we have, you know, 2,500 people. So so that's really,
and this
exciting.
Is your group?
So we,
this is your group?
This
or
is
the,
my group.
Or
it's my, yeah, it's is, my fan page. It's called Red Tents. Red Tents in Every Neighborhood on Facebook. That's my fan page. So I'm still answering your question of how do I work. So through this, women started finding me all over the globe. So I live in Northern California, but women started wanting to work with me from Australia and from Mexico and from the East Coast. And the only way I could do that, because I can't travel all the time, is to do it by phone. So I now work with women all over the world, either one-on-one on the phone or in very small coaching groups on the phone, which is allowing each one to have individual attention and personal time, and allowing for the interaction of the group to really blossom. So so that's how I work, and I actually have another group coming up that's starting February 1st that I'd like to let everyone know, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So... So I have a tiny URL for it, so it would be easy to find out. So this is www.tinyurl, and that's tinyurl.com/PMS free. So tinyurl.com/PMS free, F-R-E-E, and that will take people to a page that will explain all the ins and outs of this group. It's a small coaching group. I'm offering it right now at an early bird discount. And I would like to offer a gift to the listeners of this wonderful Awakenings for the first 5 women that would sign up through you. I would be delighted to offer you a copy of my book for free. So I will gift you the book, and I'll gift you the shipping. So I will ship to the first 5 women who sign up on tinyurl.com/PMS free to, I will be gifting you a book. And I would really invite women to take and take advantage of this offer and of the time now when there is still an early bird discount for this group.
Okay. So what they'd go to is tinyurl.com/PMS free. And they have information about the group. And we have a question. When was the workshop or group coming up? You had said the date.
It starts on February 1st, so there is time. That's why we're still on the early bird discount.
Okay,
it starts February 1st, and we're going to be meeting for an hour and a half on Tuesdays. So all of that is explained on the website.
Okay, got that. All right. Wonderful. That's great. So, and let me give you a website again, DeannaLam.com, DeannaLam.com, for more information. And so is it about having a collective, the Red Tent in Every Neighborhood? What a concept. My gosh, that would be...
Wouldn't that change the world?
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my vision. You know, our lives would have been so different if every girl, if each of us, when we grew up, had a neighborhood red tent where we could go and sit with mothers and grandmothers and be really welcomed and empowered every month and just allowed to rest and regenerate. So it is my vision to have that again in every neighborhood, and I do train women to do this. So my work is not only working with women on empowering themselves around their reclaiming their menstruation and empowering them as mothers of daughters, but also training women that are really wanting to run with this work, training them to do what I do, because I'm only one and I can't be around the world, and women need it all over. So that's the second step of my work for those who want to go deeper, is to get licensed to do this work in their neighborhood or in their community.
Wonderful. Deanna Lam, thank you so much for taking time to be on Awakenings and share this awakening and insightful information with us. Really appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you. It is my pleasure.
All right. Well, and thank you, listener participants, for, as always, anchoring this wonderful energy, love, and light. It's been another wonderful, wonderful show. Again, our guest was Deanna Lam, and we were speaking about the book and her focus, Coming Years, Mentoring Girls into Womanhood. And thank you all again for connecting. It's been wonderful. You can also reach me via my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Again, if you have questions or comments, email me. I'll answer them on air or on my blog at awakenings@selfandlight.com or info@selfandlight.com. And I did have a call or question come in by email. Yes, I am still doing the gift for Awakenings listeners as well, for the channel guidance and psychic readings, as well as spiritual and esoteric programs. So anyway, as always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake. By the Urban Myth Club. Namaste.